As we continue our worship, let's turn to number 273 as we are celebrating the love of Christ this morning at his table, my Savior's love. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner and condemned unclean. I'm sure you have that same amazement of God's amazing love, 273. As we prepare to come to his table this morning, continuing in 2 Samuel, Chapter 19, as we continue our series on the life of David after God's own heart. Today, the context of our scripture comes when David is returning back to Jerusalem after being driven from the palace in the revolt of his son Absalom, who usurped the throne in a coup attempt. Absalom had now been killed in battle, and David is now coming back to take the throne again, repeating an event that happened earlier they're going to be referring to in chapter 16 of 2 Samuel, but here beginning in chapter 19, verse 15, David is coming back. It says, "Then the king returned and went as far as the Jordan. Now the men of Judah had come to Gilgal to go out and to meet the king and to bring him across the Jordan. Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite from Beharim, hurried down to the men of Judah to meet King David. With him were 1,000 Benjamites, along with Ziba, the steward of Saul's household, and his 15 sons and 20 servants. They rushed to the Jordan where the king was. They crossed at the ford to take the king's household over and to do whatever he wished. When Shimei, son of Gera, crossed the Jordan, he fell prostrate before the king and said to him, 'May my Lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my Lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind, for I, your servant, know that I have sinned, but today I have come here as the first of the whole house of Joseph to come down to meet my Lord the king.' Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said, 'Shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He cursed the Lord's anointed.' But David replied, 'What do you and I have in common, you sons of Zerah? This day you have become my adversaries. Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? Do I not know that I am king over Israel?' So the king said to Shimei, 'You shall not die.' And the king promised him on oath." Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the forgiveness that you extend to us that we are not worthy of. And that wonderful promise and pronouncement that when we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us and to wash that sin away. Today we come before you rejoicing in that hope and in that promise as we come before your table in celebration of the forgiveness that you not only provided, but offered to us through your Son. So Lord, meet with us today. Prepare us to come before you in celebration and in remembrance and in honor of what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in whom we pray. Amen. As we have seen in the life of David, he has gone through many highs and lows in his life. One of the things that's so beautiful about studying his life is we see ourselves in him in so many ways. In the times of the joy when he's walking in obedience, in the times when he had fallen into sin, in the times when things are going well on the top of the mountain, in the time when he's in the lowest of the valleys. And often that is how our Christian experience is. We have those times when we have seems like we take two footprints ahead, two steps forward, and then we have a couple times we fall back. But the good thing was he kept pursuing. He kept going forward in his faith. And God called him a man after his own heart. Last week, we had seen how God had restored him after that fall in sin with Bathsheba and how he had ordered Uriah to be killed in that low point of his life. And we had seen how God had sent Nathan the prophet to him in love to confront him and to restore him back. And when David confessed his sin, God immediately, as we'd seen, forgave and took those sins away. And God set him free. But the Lord told David, some consequences would come. And yes, we learned that the Lord forgives our sin, but there are consequences for our sin, and that happens. And as we come into this part of the chapter of David's life, those consequences have come out full range. Amnon was dead. Tamar was raped. A lot of the things and the consequences of what happened have been played out in front of David and all of Israel. Absalom, his one son, rebelled against him, usurped a throne. And in chapter 16, David was driven from the palace as Absalom took the throne. And on his way, we encounter a man called Shimei. Shimei was from the house of Saul, a descendant of Saul, and he thought, maybe this is the time David is going to get the justice, he thought, for taking over Saul's throne, so he thought. And he follows David, and he's cursing him, and he's calling down curses on David all the way along. And that's what's happening here. And now we get back to 19, and David is returning back, and he meets Shimei again in a different encounter. But one of the things that made David a man after his own heart was the fact that David was a man of grace. He had a passion for God. He had a passionate heart for him, but he had a heart of forgiveness. He had learned and experienced the forgiveness of God firsthand, and he's shown and experienced that forgiveness to others. And as we come to the Lord's table this morning, that really is the heart of forgiveness. Because as we share together in the bread and the cup, as we're about to receive in a moment, that is the heart of God's forgiveness shown to you and me through Jesus. Through the cross, the wrath and the justice of God was poured out on Christ. The justice, the wrath that we should have received. But the forgiveness of God was also on display in his full mercy, that Jesus took our place and died for us, shedding his blood, his body broken, that you and I could be set free. That's something to celebrate, right? And the heart of forgiveness is seen so beautifully at the Lord's table. And it's seen so beautifully in the action of David here, who reflects Jesus, who was called that man after his own heart. As we look at this experience in David's life briefly, we're going to see how the heart of forgiveness, God's heart of forgiveness, is displayed through David in two ways. And first, is he willingly bore our offenses and did not retaliate. That's what the cross is all about. That Jesus willingly bore our sin, yours and mine, and did not retaliate. He did not fight back. The scripture says he could have called 10,000 angels to come and release him from the cross and to take him down, but he did not. He suffered and bore willingly your sin and mine. All our offenses were cast on him. But let's see it displayed in the life of David. Turn with me to chapter 16. Just go back a couple chapters. The first time David and Shimei meet, as David is driven from the palace when Absalom usurps the authority. Beginning of verse 5, it says, as David approached Bahurim, same place he's coming back to on the way on chapter 7, 19, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones. Through all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left. As he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you man of bloodshed, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul and the in whose palace you place you have reigned. And the Lord has handed the kingdom over to you, your son Absalom, and you have come to ruin because you are a man of blood. And Abishai, the son of Gerhara, said, why should this dead dog who cursed my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. But the king says, what do you and I have in common? If he is cursing because the Lord has said to him, curse David, then who can ask why do this? So David then said to Abishai and his officials, my son, who is my own flesh and blood, is trying to take my life. How much more than this Benjamite? Leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will see my distress and repay me for the good, for the cursing I am receiving today. Through that example in David's life, he willingly bore the offense that was being lodged against him, and he did not seek revenge. He could have. He was the king. Abishai said, let me go over and cut off his head. He's cursing you. Don't you hear what he's saying? He's pelting David with stones. And David said, let him go. If that's part of God's will, then let it be. And he did not seek revenge. And we see the heart of forgiveness in that. We see God's heart, don't we? The same heart that we are to have. And here's Shimei. Don't you love this guy? He shows up one of the lowest points of David's life. And he's palling on and jumping on. Have you ever had anybody in your life that kicks you when you're down? Because that's what Shimei did. David was in a low point in his life. And here this guy comes, this scoundrel, really. And he starts cursing him and pounding with stones. And it says, good, God's giving you what you deserve. And he kept pounding him at the lowest point. There's those times and people in our life when we're in our lowest point, they love to kick us when we're down. Do you ever have anybody like that? And boy, and our heart wants to, oh, we want to fight back. We say, here we are. And that's what Abishai wanted to do. He said, let me go over and cut off his head. But David says, no. If what he's saying is of God, then just let it be. And he displayed the heart of God in that he was personally assaulted, just as Jesus was. He was thrown rocks at. He was pelted with rocks. He was assaulted. He was ridiculed, but yet he willingly took it. Listen to what the scripture says in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, beginning in verse 19. It says, for this commendable, if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God, but how is it that you receive credit for receive a beating for doing something wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure, it is commendable for God, for here, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and there was no deceit found in his mouth, but when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. It's the same thing David did. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. We see the heart of God displayed in the life of David. He was personally assaulted, but yet he willingly bore that because he took oiling upon himself. He took our offenses. He took your offense and mine. He took all our sins willingly on himself. Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 27 that they hurled their insults on him. Jesus, when he was beaten and he was flogged and he was beaten and he willingly took it, and it says they hurled their insults and they cast them on him. It says even the thieves on his side joined in the ridicule and the chief priest as well and said, if you're really the Son of God whom you claim to be, bring yourself down and we'll believe you. And they assaulted him and they cast it on, but he did not seek revenge. He forgave. As we receive the communion this morning, as we take the bread and the cup in hand, we're thankful that Christ took your sin and mine upon himself, did not seek revenge, did not come down from that cross and say, forget it, they're not worthy. But his first words were, Father, forgive them, right? They don't know what they're doing. And we celebrate that in the heart of God's forgiveness. Personally assaulted, but he willingly bore it. He was also falsely accused. Verse 7, it says there that Abishai, as he called out to him, said, God's punishing you. The Lord's handed over the kingdom of your household of Saul. He's handed over to your son. And that was a lie. That was a false accusement. God did not hand the kingdom over to Absalom. Absalom took it by rebellion. God wasn't repaying David for his sin. This was all part of a rebellious plan. He was falsely accused. He said, you're just getting what you deserve. And that wasn't true. And he was falsely accused. Has anybody falsely accused you of something? And when we're falsely accused, that anger gets up and we want to fight back and retaliate. But David didn't. He knew he was right in his heart. He knew where he was with God. And he said, just let him go. Just let him go because I know where I am before God. And Jesus was falsely accused, was he not? And he was falsely accused. And he who bore no sin was called a sinner. And he was without sin, but falsely accused and willingly bore that for you and I. He was also publicly accursed. Here it said that Abishai followed and cursed him. All the way he went, kept cursing him and throwing stones at him all along the way. Not just once, but all the way along this path where he was walking, he kept following and cursing him out. And he bore that. Has anybody ridiculed you? And I mean, the one time or twice is enough, but this was over and over again. But he willingly bore it. Jesus was cursed for us. Listen to what it says in Galatians. I love this verse. In Galatians chapter, as soon as I get here, chapter 3. It says that Christ, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. And Jesus became cursed for you and me. Willingly. And as we receive the bread and the cup, we do so in celebration and thanksgiving that this was his body broken, his blood shed. He became a curse so that the curse of sin could be taken away from us. That's something to rejoice in, right? He bore our offenses and did not seek revenge. And he was fully aligned. When Abishai said, come, let me cut off his head. David said, let him go, because if he's speaking, maybe the Lord has told him that. And if this is God's will, then let it be. When Jesus hung on the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, if there is another way that this could happen, that salvation could be brought, let it be. But yet he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus was fully aligned with the Father's will. When you and I, whenever someone says things about us or kicks us when we're down and we're in those lowest points of our life and we want to fight back, when we want to retaliate, we need to align our will with God's. We need to align our action with his and say, let God deal with them. Vengeance is his to repay, not ours, right? And we need to align ourselves with him and say, his will be done in and through me. So we see the heart of forgiveness seen, and then he willingly bore our offenses and did not seek revenge. And secondly, we see the heart of forgiveness seen, and that he fully forgave our sin and set us free. And that takes us to chapter 19, the second part of this story. David now returning back. And guess who comes to meet him? He's coming back to the throne. Absalom has been killed. The rebellion's been quelled. And guess who is the first one to meet David? In our story, our great hero, Shimei. David's coming back to the throne, and Shimei knows, boy, I'm in trouble now. The last time I saw the king, I was cursing into his face. And now he's back in power. What am I going to do? So let's pick up the story again. He comes over, and they return. And with him, in verse 16, Shimei, the son of Benjamin, hurried down to meet David. And with him were 1,000 Benjamites, along with Ziba, the household, servant of God, Saul's household. And when Shimei crossed the Jordan, there in verse 18, what did he do? When he saw the king coming back, what did he do? He fell on his face before the king, prostrate, and he said, King, please don't hold to my account and remember the words I said the last time we were together. Don't remember the last thing I said to you. And he fell on his face before him in confession and in forgiveness, hoping that the king would have mercy. And we read the scripture. We know what the king did, what David did. He said, no one's going to die. He said to him, you're forgiven. You will live. And again, isn't that what Jesus did for us? Isn't that what communion's all about? That Jesus took our offenses. He died and took our place. And when we confess our sin, he's forgiven. This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sin, that we have life. He died that we could have life. So he accepts our confession, that when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and he forgives us of all of our sin and all of our unrighteousness. David accepted the confession of Shimei. He said, you're not going to die. No one's going to die this day. This is a day of rejoicing. The king has returned. And thankfully, that when Jesus died, he died for our sins to be taken away and removed. He also removes our sin. Verse 23, David said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king promised him on oath. Jesus shed his blood. His body was broken so that your sin and mine could be forgiven completely, past, present, and future. All under the blood of Christ, all paid for, all wiped clean when we confess it to him and removed as far as the east is from the west. And David had experienced that. He was able to grant forgiveness because he had experienced so much forgiveness from God over his sin with Bathsheba and adultery and murder. And God had removed that from him. And he said, "Because I have been forgiven, I forgive." And isn't that what the Lord has called us to do? To forgive others as we have been forgiven through Christ. And the Lord removed the sin. He also extends grace. Verses 21 to 23, when Abishai again said, "Shouldn't he be put to death for this? He cursed the Lord's anointed. He should be killed. Why are you letting him off?" And David said, "No one's going to die." He said, "I know that I'm the king." And he said, "What do we both have in common? We're men of war." But he said, "Let him go. He's not going to die." And he extended him grace. God extends us grace through Christ when we justly deserve death. When we justly deserved his wrath, he extended us grace. And that's what the cross is all about. That's what we celebrate in communion. That's why we rejoice. And because God extended us grace, excuse me, we need to extend grace to those who offend us, who throw those stones at us, who kick us when we're down, who assault us in whatever way it may be. And we need to extend the same kind of grace to them with that same heart of forgiveness that David did and that God did through Christ. And he gives us life. David said, "No one is going to die." Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you, that you may live." He died that we may have life in him. So we come to celebrate at the Lord's table the heart of forgiveness seen through the bread and the cup, demonstrated by Jesus on the cross. And when we come to his table, we come thanking him for his grace, that he set us free, that he paid the price, that we also cannot come to the table if we have not received his forgiveness. If we have not received his forgiveness personally, we can't receive of the bread and the cup. It's through that experience of what he has done for us. But also we can't come to his table if we have not forgiven others. And as we prepare to come to his table this morning, if there's somebody in your heart right now when I say that, or talk about Shimei kicking you when you're down, maybe the Lord brought that person to your mind. Maybe you thought of somebody at that moment. And whoever that person is that the Lord laid on your mind through his Spirit, we can't come to his table if we have not forgiven that person. If we still have that resentment or that bitterness in our heart, we have to release it. We have to let it go and show his grace and his forgiveness as he's demonstrated it to us. Paul said, we need to examine ourselves before we partake of the bread in the cup and make sure we are where we need to be. Forgiven totally by God, but also we need to forgive others for their offenses towards us. Willingly bore our offenses, did not seek revenge, fully forgave our sin, and set us free. As we prepare to come to the Lord at his table this morning, in a time of communion, celebrating that we're life in Christ and forgiven forever, let's join together in a time of prayer. As we prepare to meet our Lord at his table this morning, I ask you to take this moment to prepare your heart. First, just talk to him for a moment and thank him for his forgiveness and his grace extended to you. His blood shed for you and what that means and for receiving that forgiveness through Christ. Take a moment, and if there's anything in your heart that you need to be forgiven of, that you need to ask the Lord to forgive you of, His blood was shed to wash that sin away. His body was broken and suffered. He bore those offenses for you. Ask Him to forgive you of that, that we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to cleanse us. And if there's anyone that the Lord brought to your mind that kicked you when you're down, that offended or assaulted you, and you have not released that, you have not released that person, you have not forgiven them, then forgive them now. Release them to God. Because as He has forgiven you, we got to forgive them and show that same grace. Father, as we come to your table this morning, we thank you that you willingly bore our offenses upon yourself. You did not seek revenge. You did not retaliate. You could have called 10,000 angels, but you did not. And you said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Lord, when others kick us when we're down, when others throw those stones at us, when others assault us and say things that are not true, just as David was falsely accused, just as you were falsely accused, and so many times we can be. Lord, help us to have that heart of forgiveness and to release it to you, knowing that we're right with you and that's all that matters, and that you will deal with that person in your time. Father, we thank you that you forgave us of our sin. You took our place. You bore our offenses. The judgment that we and the wrath that we should have had was upon you. And you set us free. Lord, help us to release that. And we thank you that when we confess our sin, you are faithful and just. Lord, as we partake now of the bread and the cup, we thank you that your heart of forgiveness is so beautifully seen in this way that you have given us to remember you. And Lord, in obedience to your command, we share in this meal. And we thank you for the bread, a visible reminder of your body that was broken for us. Your blood that was the cup, a willing reminder of your blood shed for our sin to restore us and to make us right with you. So we thank you for the power of the blood to cleanse. Prepare us, Lord, to receive from you now in celebration of your grace, thanking you for the forgiveness that we have received and remembrance of all that you've done for us. And with joy we partake together, we again commit ourselves to you, forgiving others as you have forgiven us. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we share together in the Lord's table this morning, we do this in obedience to his command as a way that he has given us, his church, to remember him. The Lord's table here is open to anyone who is a child of God. You don't have to be a member of this church, but a member of God's church, and have had your sins forgiven through faith in Christ. When you came in, you should have received a bread in the cup. When you received, I'm going to ask you to prepare by taking off the top portion and exposing the bread and peeling that part back as we prepare to take together. The scripture says that on the night our Lord is betrayed, he took bread. And as he blessed it and broke it, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat it in remembrance of me." We eat this together as one, showing that we are one family, partaking together in our union with Christ, in our union with each other. Body of Christ broken for you, eat it in remembrance of him. Peel off the top portion, bottom and underneath, expose the cup. After supper, scripture says Jesus took the cup, and after he blessed it and broke it, he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of your sin." As often as you drink this, Jesus said, drink it in remembrance of me. The blood of Christ shed for you. Drink it in remembrance and thanksgiving of him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the bread and the cup, a visible way that you've given us to remember all that you've done for us. And Lord, it's good for us at times just to pause once again in the midst of our busy world, in the midst of all that we go through, to have our vision again cast on the cross, to have our vision of you, our dying Savior, who died and rose again, and what the cost of forgiveness really was and where your heart was fully displayed for us through Christ. So thank you, Lord, for that forgiveness so wonderfully demonstrated through Jesus. Thank you for this time that we could pause once again and commune with you and share in that time of remembrance and time of celebration and experience again that intimacy and that joy of forgiveness as David was able to pray in Psalm 51, after experiencing your forgiveness, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And we thank you for the joy that comes through that forgiveness through Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. As we close this morning, our closing hymn is number 138. As we celebrate the forgiveness through Christ and rejoice in what he's done for us. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, our precious Redeemer, wounded and bleeding, for dying for me, we rejoice in what he has done for Jesus.